right, well, it's about time for us to begin. It's 7 o'clock, so we'll get started, and let's start with a word of prayer. Let's bow. Most holy God and our Father in heaven, we come before you now at the end of this day, just thanking you for all the many wonderful blessings that you give us, for sustaining our lives and giving us everything that we need, our food and clothing and shelter and so much more in most cases. And we're so thankful, Lord, that we can gathered together here tonight freely to worship you and to study from your word. We're thankful for the study that we've entered into here, into tonight. We pray that you'll be with us in that study. Help us to focus on the lesson at hand and to try to gain the things that we can use in our own lives to be better servants of yours. We pray that you would be with all the other teachers in the other classes, be with them in their preparation, and be with all the students. Help us all to gain better knowledge and understanding from your word and our studies. Lord, we're so very thankful for your word, and we pray that your word would continue to have free course throughout the world in other countries. And thankful for those that are serving throughout the world to preach your word. Pray for open doors there, that many who are in need of hearing your gospel may hear it. Father, we're so very thankful for this local congregation. We're thankful for the work being done here. We're thankful for the elders and deacons who blessed us with here, and for all the members that assemble here and all the work they do. And we're so very thankful for the unity that we have as members here and the work that we do. We pray that you continue to bless it. Help us to be that light and a beacon in the community. Father, we pray for those that have recently obeyed the gospel. We're so very thankful for them, for Tyler Hobbs and Perry Kilgore. We thank you for the example that they are to us in rendering obedience to your word. We pray that we may all work together in unity and in our striving to get to heaven together. Father, we pray that you would just be with us now, the rest of this hour. We are so very thankful, especially, Lord, for the hope that we have through Jesus. We pray that you would help us in our lives of service, that we might strive to honor that sacrifice that was made for us on Calvary. And we're thankful for the forgiveness of sins. And we pray, Lord, that you would forgive us of our sins when we fail you from time to time. Help us always to turn to right and always strive to do your will and to be better each day. We ask now that you would be with us in our study tonight, and please forgive us our sins. We ask this all through Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're in the study tonight of Judges. We're in our kind of part two of our study of Samson. We started off studying about the foretelling of Samson being born in the early parts of his life, and so now we're going to study the rest of his life and the end part thereof and his death tonight. And so we're going to go ahead and look at a review very quickly here. So we started off last week looking at the study of Samson. Again, Israel, as we know, we start the cycle over again. They do evil in the sight of the Lord. And God then delivers them into the hands of the Philistines this time. And they are oppressed for 40 years. Now, I think the 40 years there is probably the longest we've seen thus far, as far as oppression.
How many generations would be involved in 40 years?
I guess it depends on how you look at it, but I would think 1 to 2. What's anybody else's thoughts on that as far as generations? I'm thinking one maybe, but I guess it depends on how you look at it.
Generation to deal with that didn't know anything about what God had done.
appreciate that point. We know that the beginning part here of Samson's life, we've got the angel that visits Manoah's wife and gives her some specific instructions to both herself and to the child that will be born. And as we know, that child was to be a Nazarite for life. We talked about the meaning of being a Nazarite. You know, there's things to abstain from there, and things that they could not do, like not be around a dead body and that sort of thing. That's to separate themselves, to make them holy in the Lord's service so they could serve the Lord. So that was to be, Samson was to be a Nazarite for life. And as we know, Samson then chooses there later on a Philistine woman from Timnah, and we know how his parents were concerned about that. They asked him, why didn't he choose an Israelite wife? And he was dead set on that. And we know the concern there too with the law and the violation of the law there, but he was set on having that Philistine wife. And so he marries that Philistine wife, and then we see later on the demonstration of his strength when he tackles the lion. And then I think that was probably the first time that he really saw for himself the strength that he had from the Lord. Demonstrated very well there. And then later on there towards the end of last week, we looked at the wedding feast and the riddle that Samson posed to the Philistines. And we saw how his wife was forced to find out the answer to that riddle, right? She was forced, threatened to burn her and her father if she didn't find out the answer. So she does. She tells the Philistines. And we saw what happened. The reaction there of Samson was he was just furious. I'm sure when he found out, when he realized that he knew where it came from. He knew his wife had to have told the Philistines. And so he is in anger there. Verse 19, he goes and he kills the men from, goes to Ashkelon. Is that right? Ashkelon? Ashkelon. And he kills the 30 Philistines, takes their garments, and then comes back and gives the clothing to the Philistines there to fulfill that request. And then we know that his wife then is given to his companion when he returns. And when he gets back, what does he do when he returns? What is his actions when he comes back? They're towards
him. Talking about to receive his wife.
Right.
Well, he was very much disturbed. He says, now I'm more justified than I have been to do as they have done unto me, I'm going to do unto them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
Right. Getting into chapter 15. Yeah, a little bit ahead there, but yeah, exactly. That's what he did. You see him doing that. When he came back, he gave the clothing back to them. Where did he go from there at the end, it says?
Back to his father's house.
Any mention there about taking his wife or anything like that? No. No mention. You know, normally, you know, in a marriage relationship, after you get married, you know, you normally live together, right? Spend a little time together, get to know each other. But in this case, we don't see that. In his anger, he returns back, gives them their clothes, goes to live with his father. And it's kind of where we're at now tonight, as he's going to go back to Timnah, right? Timnah is the city where she's at there, to visit her once again. Okay, a couple things to keep in mind as we get into our study tonight. Two things to kind of keep in mind here. And that is, and I think it was already mentioned before, Chad had mentioned it before, is that although Samson is a judge of Israel, he still does have character flaws, just as we all have character flaws. We all fail. We fail the Lord. We sin. And he was no different. You know, he had character flaws that we're going to see in our study. And so we're gonna look at those. We're gonna look at those and see what we can learn from that. Right? I think there's definitely some benefit there. So as we go along, we're gonna point those out and see what we can learn from that. Good segue into the second point that I want to mention too, and that is, as we go as well, we want to just point out, you know, the great things that God does through Samson despite those character flaws that we see in him. Because God is still going to be able to use Samson to begin to deliver Israel from the Philistines, as we saw foretold there at the beginning. So we'll make sure that we point out those areas that we see as well, where we see God working through Samson. Okay, so we begin with Samson kind of going back to Timnah, and we'll begin there in question one. If I can get this to move forward. All right. Let's go on this side first. Yeah, well, I think what we're looking at here is, you probably look at it different ways. What I see is there in verse 1, when he's coming back, let's look at chapter 15. After a while, I'm assuming after he was at his father's house, he came back. It says, after a while, in the time of the wheat harvest, it happened Samson visited his wife with a young goat. So it looks like he wants to make amends with his wife, right? And from there, he's looking to visit her. And what does his father, what does her father tell him at that point?
You can't do it.
What had happened at that point? He'd already given her to his companion. And you could imagine how furious. He's already got anger issues there, right? So you can imagine how mad he was at that point. And so that's when he went and did what he did. Is that the next question? Yeah. Let's get to the next question. Okay, number two. Yeah, he had been gone a while. He returns back. Her father says he can't see her. So he goes out and he burns up the crops. He destroys the grain fields and the vineyards. And it seems like... Now, what is the god of the Philistines? They're kind of their main god of the Philistines. Dagon. Yeah, that's their main god. That's their god of grain and harvest. So this may have been seen as an attack on their god Dagon.
Did he do something about
it? Yeah. Guess he couldn't, could he? He wasn't powerful enough. Yeah, may have had some help there. So he catches all those foxes or jackals. He puts torches between their tails and burns up all the wheat. the wheat fields and the vineyards and the olive groves, I believe, also is said there. Number three.
What did the Philistines do to Samson's wife and her father? They burned her.
Number four.
What was Samson's reaction? Verse 7 says that he said, "I swear I'll read your face on you, and after that I will quit." And he said, "He struck him hip and thigh with a great blow, and he stayed down, or he went down and stayed in the cleft of the rock of Eden."
All right. Yeah, that's a little before the thousand, but yeah, I know where you're going with that. That's a little bit further in our account here, but what a terrible event that we saw there. Samson's wife is burned, his father-in-law is burned, killed. Some pretty terrible things happening there. Pretty tragic event. Do you think this is something that could have been avoided? Yeah, it's no doubt that God's going to work through Samson. I think we do see some character flaws here in Samson. He's got some real anger, revenge problems. And if you just look at the events that kind of lead up to this, looking at chapter 14, verses 19 and 20, looking at that, when it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of their men, took their apparel, and gave the change of the clothing to those who had explained the riddle. So his anger was aroused, and went back to his father's house. And Samson's wife was given to his companion, who had been his best man." Notice there, 19, in his anger, he does this. Seems like in his anger, he leaves his wife to go live with his father, right? Probably ought to have been with his wife. Then he finds out that his wife's father has given her to another man when he finally returns. I guess he'd cooled down by that point. That's when he gets so angry, when he finds out that she had been given away, that then he destroys the wheat fields. And then the Philistines come back, because they're going to get him back, right? And they burn his wife and his father with fire. There's a lot of back and forth there, a lot of anger and revenge and a lot of that going on here. It just seems like, Samson has some anger troubles here. This anger and revenge, wanting to get back at people. It seems like that may at least partially the reason why we see his wife and his father being killed. You know, that anger and revenge that he wanted to get. There, Jim. Yeah, it was. It certainly was. And we see that later on when he says, "I'm just doing to them what they had done to me." Right. Yeah, so kind of looking at the the anger and the vengeance issues we see in Samson. Can anger and vengeance, the wanting to get back at people, can that affect us as Christians? Can that affect our service? Absolutely. It'll make us less effective as Christians, won't it? It'll make us less effective as examples, as teachers of the Word. Something to think about there. And we, as I talked about earlier, it's just one of the things to look at as far as one of Samson's flaws. The Lord's still going to work through them. He can still work through anybody that has flaws. But there's probably something to look at there as something that he struggled with. Be angry and sin not. Yes, sir. Yeah. Good point. Any other comments on that before we move on? Okay, number five.
How did Samson explain his actions toward the Philistines? The men of Judah showed up, asked him about it, and he basically said, "This is not just doing to them what they've done to me." So, hey, no.
Yeah, I'm just doing to them what they've done to me, the eye for the eye that Brother Jim had mentioned there. We see there in about verse 9, then after that happens, he takes vengeance against the Philistines. The Philistines send forces to Judah. There in verse 9 it says, now the Philistines went up and encamped at Judah and deployed themselves against Lehi. And then Judah goes out and asks them, what are you here for? What do they tell him? What are they there for?
There to arrest Samson.
And so then what do the men of Judah decide to do at that point when they find out that they're there to arrest Samson? What's their response? Yeah, they know that the Philistines are there to arrest Samson. So, what do the men of Judah do to aid in that? Yeah, so they get together 3,000 men, right, and they go to Edom to find Samson. When they get to Samson. What's the first thing they tell Samson? They have come to get you. And don't you know that these Philistines, they rule over us? Like they accept the fact that the Philistines ruled over them. And so, what request then does Samson make when they attempt to arrest him? What's his request? Yeah, just don't kill me. You think he was really concerned about them being able to kill him? I think maybe here he wants to make sure he's not going to have to fight his own countrymen. Right, just don't kill me. Just turn me over to the Philistines. He probably has another plan there, as we're going to see here in a minute. All right, then question six. Yeah. It just happened to have a jawbone of a donkey laying around. Yeah. Pretty cool. So as soon as they get to Lehi, what happens there around verse 14 there? What happens to those ropes? Yeah, it says there in verse 14, the ropes became like flax, burnt with fire. And he broke them. And then he grabbed that jawbone and killed those 1,000 Philistines. Um, thing here after that, after verse, around verse 15 there, we see that's where he grabs the jawbone of the donkey, kills the Philistines, and then we see that what he says there in verse 16. After that whole great deliverance there by Samson, killing of the 1,000 Philistines, do we see anything there as far as appreciation or thanks to God? You know, boy, the Lord sure did deliver, help me deliver Israel. Anything? I didn't really see anything there. We do see something here a little later on, here a couple verses later, when he starts talking about and complaining about his thirst. But during this time, it just seems like, was there a missed opportunity here? We just had the 3,000 Israelites, or men from Judah, that were delivering Samson to the Philistines. Just as they get to Lehi, he breaks his ropes and he kills 1,000 Philistines. He's got a captive audience there of Israelites. Just seems like that would be a great time for him to give some glory to the Lord for what he had just done. But notice here in verse 16, when he says what he says there, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men. So when he finished speaking, they threw the jawbone from his hand and called that place Ramoth-Lehi. You know, I don't know. I'm not sure what the... Maybe we're missing something there. But it certainly seems like there's a missed opportunity there to give glory to God. So, right, in verse 18, what happens? What do we see there? What's his complaint? Yeah, it does seem a little like he's whining there, doesn't it? Yeah, in fact, I think this is the first account that we see here when he talks to the Lord. And it's just interesting that he has a problem, doesn't he? I'm thirsty. I'm dying of thirst. Help me. So, like I said, it seems like there's a pattern there. Yeah. What kind of relationship would we have with God if we only went to Him when we had a concern or a problem? You know, would that be really a really great relationship there? It's a one-sided relationship. Yeah. Yeah.
Treating God like He's just a dispenser.
Yeah. Any other comments there before we move on?
Jim, I guess I'm having a little trouble. Maybe we're being a little hard on Samson. I don't know. Obviously, he does have some things that we would consider flaws, and I don't disagree with that. But God is using
did provide him with the water that he asked for. He did chastise him or rebuke him for asking for
Yeah, good point. Any other comments in that lane?
Sure, 5 acres of cotton, you'd be pretty thirsty. And I'm you kill that many people, you're tired and thirsty.
Good point. Okay, so this is a few places that we're going to visit in our account here. We've already looked at a couple of them. We start off there in Timnah. That's where he goes back to see his wife there. And found out that she had been given away already. Then we know he was taken to Lehi there, where he killed the 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of the donkey. And then here shortly we're going to see he's going to go to Gaza, where he's going to see the harlot there. And then he's going to see the tremendous feat of strength there. We're going to see that when he carries the doors of the city up to the mountain there. And then he's going to go up. And then he's going to go up to the Valley of Sorek, which is up here around Timnah, where he's going to meet Delilah there. And then when Delilah betrays him, he'll go back down to Gaza, where we'll see him there at the Temple of Dagon. So now you got places to think about when you got those events in your head. You know kind of where they took place. Okay, number 7.
How did God provide water for Samson? He didn't have a lot of water when he passed.
Yeah, I think, 20 years there. All right, let me skip through some of this. We've already talked about it. All right. Okay, let's go ahead and go to 9. Anyone else in the back there? Back up to the front, Lamar. You?
What offer did the lords of the Philistines make to the lords to Delilah? 16:5. If you can find out where his strength lies, by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him, every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it seemed like it was 1,100 for each of the lords of the Philistines, I think. Maybe wrong there. But if each of them was given 1,100, 5,500 pieces of silver. Anyways, like you said, it's a crazy amount of money there. She would have been set for life, pretty much, with that amount of money. So, and I think the lords of the Philistines, so there's a lord of the Philistines for, I think, each city of the Philistines. So there's five lords. So they all came together to try to get Samson there. All right, so in verse 1 of chapter 16, again, we see another weakness of Samson there. He goes in, he visits the harlot. And then what do the Gazites do when they hear that Samson is there at Gaza?
They surround
the city and wait for him. And then there it says around verse 3 at midnight, Samson lay low till midnight, and he arose at midnight, took a hold of the doors of the gate of the city. Make sure I didn't cover a question there. Took hold of the doors of the gate of the city, and the two gateposts, pulled them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders, and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Here the Philistines see another tremendous act of strength of Samson by pulling up the doors of the city. That must have taken a tremendous amount of strength in reading the commentary on this to pull up the doors of the city that were still attached to the the hinges or whatever. And those are not small doors. They're huge. Anyways, it would have taken just a tremendous amount of strength. And so the Philistines would have clearly seen at that point they're dealing with a guy that is going to be very, very difficult to take. There in verse 4, there then we see him going to the Valley of Sorek and meeting Delilah. And she's, of course, offered the 5,500 pieces of silver to find out Samson's strength, the source of strength. All right, then question 10.
Describe what Delilah went through before she was finally able to get the truth out of Samson. Well, first, what she was trying to do was, what's the source of your strength? And so he said, in verse 7, binding the 7 fresh bowstrings, that's the first thing, and that didn't work. And then in verse 10 and 11, go ahead and bind me with new ropes never been used. And of course, he got out of that. So that wasn't the source of the strength. And then in verse 13 and 14, he said, bind me with 7 locks of hair into the web of a loom. And that didn't work either. He was able to defeat that. And then finally, she pestered him until he finally told the truth.
And she tries each one, too, doesn't she? She tries each one. So the question is, how could Samson not have known she was trying to betray him and all that? That's the question, right? You would think you would have known. Any thoughts on that?
Well, when you look at each account, I guess one of the thoughts that I read was that you don't really see the Philistines actually coming in after each time she tried it. She kind of had them laying in wait to come in once she determined he was subdued. And so if they never came in each time, then he may not have thought that she was actually going to try to turn him over to the Philistines. He may have thought it was just a game that she was playing, just a fun game she was playing. But anyways, yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Pestered him to death. Yeah, until he finally gave in there. She finally told him, he told her his strength, source of strength there. All right. Started to grow again. So, when Samson wakes up there in 20, he wakes up from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free.
but he did not know the Lord had departed from him. He thought, great, I'm just going to get away the way I normally get away. The problem was that the Lord was no longer with him at that time. His hair had been cut and in violation of the Nazirite vow. So the Lord was no longer with him. And then they take him to Gaza. We already talked about that. They're in the south, south of Ashkelon. And there they they put him in bronze fetters. What's bronze fetters?
Metal binding.
Metal binding, yeah. And then, see our last question. See if I can get it back. All right, question 13. Killed more in that one event, that one day, than he'd done his whole lifetime. Yeah. It was interesting that in that event, he prayed to God, didn't he?
Right.
Yeah. The Lord strengthened him.
Interesting note, he wanted to avenge for his
eyes. Wanted vengeance for his eyes. Yeah. All right, yeah, it was interesting. All the lords of the Philistines were there, all five or six of them. I can't remember how many they said there were. All five of them, or six of them were there, which is kind of important because that kind of destroyed their leadership structure at that point. So that would have been a significant blow to the Philistines, along with probably lots of important people that were there and all kinds of important positions. And I thought that was interesting there. That 30th verse where it says, so the dead that he killed in his death were more than he had killed in his life. But pretty amazing to see. All right, well, we're out of time. All right. Thank you all.